invited all his little pals over to his house to have a Nerf gun attack and to shoot Nerf bullets at one another. And the mother was a bit excited about what she was doing. So I don't know. You see, London doesn't have limitations like we do. But she was able to send off an explosion of some type of fireworks. But it made a loud enough noise that her neighbors thought that they were under attack. And so the neighbor called the riot squad. And as these 8-year-old boys were running around in the backyard shooting Nerf pins at each other, suddenly the front door got banged down, and the riot squad arrived at the apartment. And needless to say, they were very embarrassed because all they found were 8-year-old boys running around with Nerf guns shooting at each other. Well, they all had good sense to say, well, let's get some photos. How good it is to turn something that could be very embarrassing into a photo shoot. Is that right? Yeah, I'm waking somebody up on the other side of the curtain there. But I just wanted to share with you that sometimes, you know, things are not as they seem they are. And I didn't want to have anybody have any mistakes with what was going to go on today. I feel by the Spirit of God to share something very deeply with you. And I'm going to do it in a number of ways. And so if you've come to fall asleep in church, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but that will not be allowed. There are some exciting things that God wants to do in our midst, and I want you to be aware of it. So just prepare yourself as I pull my props together. Did you find those cones for me? Boy, this is exciting. It takes a while. No, I'm not bringing any cars in, don't worry. Are you ready, Mr. Maestro?
I won't feel.
Wow, did you get something from that? Hallelujah. You may be seated just a second. Thank you, folks, for coming up. I wanted to share something of how dynamic it is to sometimes do something unexpected. In the 20s, Amy Simple McPherson took a soapbox and she went down into the middle of Los Angeles on one of the busiest streets. And she didn't have a chair like I stood on, but she stood on a soapbox. And she was dressed, if you know what Foursquare Church looks like, she had a big four in the front of her with a sort of a shield, and she was all dressed in white. And in the 20s, which was a very strong depression era, many people were in poverty, and it was a time where the rich were walking around. You've seen all the glitzy stuff, and you've seen also that there was a lot of poverty. And God directed this woman of God to go into the downtown and to stand on a couple soapboxes, just like I did this morning. But not in front of a church, but out near a traffic signal. And she did nothing but stand there and lift her hands to God and pray. She said, God, change the city. God, change this city. God, change this city. God, change this city. Get a hold of people. Reach out to them. I'm your witness. I'm standing here. This is for you, God. I look like a fool, but it's for you, God. And you know, just like we sang All the Glory, suddenly a group of people just started mulling around and crowding around where she was standing. She was standing a little bit head taller because she was on soapboxes. And then the Holy Spirit said to her, you can get down now. She got down, picked up her soapbox, and said, follow me. Do you know where she took him? She took him to Echo Park, Glendale, just down the street, into her church. And many people that had never known anything about God experienced the power of God. Just because one woman was willing to make a fool of herself and stand on a soapbox. I want you to turn your Bibles with me to the book of Amos. While you're doing that, I'd like Chris Stanley to come up. Chris Stanley is our elder in the church. And did you bring one for me too, brother? If you can, I'd appreciate that. He'll be back. Just like Arnie, I'll be back. Yes, Chris has something we want to share. I want to interview Chris this morning because there's some interesting things that God wants to do amongst us. And, you know, when the team was here a couple weeks ago, they did some beautiful dancing up here, and then they taught us how to do that. And I think that was amazing that the last night, just before they left, they said, now we're passing something on to you. I want to say to you as a church, something has shifted in the heavenlies. Something has shifted in the heavenlies. And if you, as the body of Christ, you were designated by the Spirit of God to be here today. Some others aren't here. I don't know why. All I can say is you have been designated to hear this message. And God wants you to be able to pass it on. Now, Chris, what is the thing with these outfits?
These are the uniform for our fire wardens. If there is a fire emergency and the sirens go off, or the bell it is, the people wearing this outfit are the ones responsible to make sure you get safely out of the building.
So they don't go for the door first. We don't head for the door first, right?
Correct.
Okay, so if we are the last ones in, we might get singed.
Hope not, but that's our job.
So we have the responsibility to make sure that everyone's out the door and that everybody's accounted for.
Yep, so we have to go around and check all the spaces, make sure anyone who might not have heard the fire bell because they're deaf or something, at least knows they've got to get out of the building.
And what about our children? Do the children go first, or do parents rush to try to grab their children?
No, the children are looked after separately out in the kids' church. They've got their own fire stair out the back. They will be led down there, and we'll all get together in the car park so you can see your kids are safe.
Well, thank you very much, Chris. Can we just leave these off to the side for a minute? Now, church, you're saying, I didn't come to church to get a fire demonstration, but I want to say to you, none of us know when a fire will happen. And it's too late to prepare for a fire after the fact. True? So, how many want fire insurance? And to have fire insurance, you have to know what's required of you. Okay? The people who have the responsibility and wear this equipment are designated because God has given them an authority. And these small helmets and vests are solely so that you can identify those individuals and they can help you get to the right place. In Amos chapter 3, if you'll open your Bibles with me, the Lord is speaking to Israel. And in verse 3 of chapter 3, the scripture says, "Can two walk together unless they are agreed?" If people decide not to follow the admonition or the direction of a fire warden, they are taking upon themselves the responsibility for their life. Just like if you go to the beach and you are swimming within the flags, you have an expectation that somebody's watching for your soul, for your life. True? There's an expectation. I'm doing the best I can to stay within the flags so that in case I get hit by a rogue wave or something happens to me, somebody who's a better swimmer than me, hopefully, will come out and thump me on the head and bring me in. Why do they thump sometimes drowning people or wait till they are on their last? That's right. Sometimes they have to swim around the person until they get tired enough to concede that and accept help. Are you that type of person? Are you the type of person that will walk in unity with another? Now, the message this morning is concerning marriage, but this can transfer into many aspects of life because sometimes we are difficult. I'm glad there's not too many amens on that, but I think the truth about it is we are difficult people. And I want to say that sometimes when we're out there, we don't intend to pull the person down who's trying to save our life, but we've been swallowing some water. True? And we're heading toward the bottom, and we think, what else can I do? And sometimes, that, you know, I like Australia because at least they come out with a surfboard, right? And they throw you a lifeline. Because they know If you get too close and you get them in a headlock, you can drown them and yourself both. And the scripture is saying to us, can two walk together unless they're agreed? I'm going to ask James to come up. Now, James has been my partner in crime on Fridays to go pick up people at King's Table. Come on up, brother. And I love this man because he's a humble man and he keeps me in line. And his wife and my wife are not here today, so we have to demonstrate this as man, okay? So thank you for being an armor bearer today, brother. Now, you know, sometimes when you're called to walk together and do things, you know, it's hard to be in observation of what is happening. But we need to have sensitivity in the spirit. As husbands and wives, we need to work together and know how to cooperate, because the scripture is giving us understanding that if we don't agree, we're going to go separate directions. True? God's saying the problem with Israel was they did not agree with their God who had designated. Now, you can take time, and I don't have time this whole morning to direct us toward the whole context of Amos, but I want to assure you that God is calling us as a people to walk in unity, to walk with a direction that will see the kingdom of God brought to bear against the forces of evil. And, you know, it's one thing to talk about it. It's one thing to talk about it. It's another thing to demonstrate it. Because I want something to stick in your minds today by the Spirit of God. You know, that we are a people that are going to take on board, and we're not pointing this at anybody, Jeff, notice. We're pointing it up. And we're taking on board a sense. You know, God has not planted us in Brisbane next to the scrimmage paintballers for no reason. Why? What are you talking about, Dave? What I'm talking about is there's some big boys next door who are learning to play by shooting at each other paintballs. True? But, you know, there are some soldiers. Are we soldiers, brother? We're soldiers. There's some soldiers of the Lord in the house of the Lord. And what we're doing is we are learning to walk in cadence with each other. We are learning to understand what authority is. We are learning to hear what the Spirit says to the church. And in that obedience, we're going to see something happen in the heavenlies. Now, when those dear brothers were playing music together a fortnight ago, they were singing that we are speaking to the nations. How many nations do we have represented here today? Come on, call out your nation. England, Australia, Italy, Serbia, Australia, Zambia, Scotland, Salvador, Burundi, all right, Argentina. Where else? Come on, there's a few more. Philippines, that's right. Germany. Well, I think we've named about 20. Fiji, didn't we hear Fiji? Yeah, let's speak it out for Fiji. India. You know, I want us to understand that God has brought the nations together in this place. That we are speaking not only to nations here, but in our city. Why did God bring you to New Hope? Why did God bring me to New Hope? We can lay down our arms for a moment, brother. The reason God brought me, you can have a seat, brother. The reason God brought me to New Hope was because there's a commissioning in the Spirit. As we read on, it says, "Will a lion roar in the forest when he has no prey? Will a bird fall into a snare on the earth where there's no trap for it? Will a snare spring up from the earth if it has caught nothing at all? If a trumpet is blown in a city or the shofar, will not the people be afraid? Will not the Lord have done it?" Can you cue that ready for me, my friend? "Surely the Lord does nothing unless he reveals his secret to his servants, the prophet. A lion has roared. Who will not fear? The Lord God has spoken. Who can but prophesy?" Church, God is speaking in this hour. God is speaking to his church in this hour. The lion has roared. And it's time for the church to be aware of the lion. It's time for us to take note. I said to the Lord as I sat here this morning, I said, "Lord, if you don't help me pull this off, it won't happen." But the lion has roared, church. You ready for me back there? Present whether she's not or not. Thank you. Hallelujah.
Wake up. Wake up.
Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Stop it now, thanks. I'm sorry I didn't have a shofar. I did call around to see if I could find someone to do it personally for us here in church, but I hope you were touched by that sound today. Because as we just read in Amos, unless that sound, when the sound of the trumpet or the shofar comes, there's something that goes deep on the inside that rallies the heart. You and I don't know about yourself, but I speak for myself. I haven't been around that shofar until I got into church. I heard a lot about it, but it's something that has been given and used by the Jewish nation, but also I think it's very powerful for us as the body to be responsive to that call of the Spirit and that call of the Lord. You know, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, Jesus, is calling his church to awaken. He's calling us to be alive and committed. Turn your Bibles over to me to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I want to honor Dennis. Dennis used to sit in the back. He had asbestosis that God healed him of. Dennis hasn't been here for a while, and you might wonder where he's been. He made a choice to be with his wife. His wife has dementia, and she feels more comfortable in the Baptist church. And so Dennis is accompanying his wife in the Baptist church. Praise God. Praise God. And so one of the wonderful things that Dennis did while he was here, he brought me his folder that he'd been writing sermons out. And Dennis chose 1 Corinthians 13. And I want us to turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And I'm going to move through this as quickly as possible because I know you're waiting for lunch. But I had Robert bring the cymbal up here because I was going to have him clanging the cymbal while I tried to talk. Because, you know, the scripture reads, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels, but have not love, I become sounding brass or clanging cymbal. Church, if we don't have the true essence that sustains us, we can do all the talk and know where it's found and read it all the time, but if it's not an essential of our lives, we're going to be nothing but a clanging cymbal. Something that just can wear on your nerves. True? Robert's all ready to bang that thing just to get you guys to understand it. You know, the natural tongues that are represented here from many countries and the tongues of expression of angels bring about communication, bring about a declaration, cause people to come to understanding. But if people don't really read our body language and read where our hearts are coming from, they can be like my kids. I used to say, that what I've just told you has gone in one ear, out the other. And they can say, hey, Dad, your lips are moving, but I don't understand a word you've said. And my prayer for us as a church is that we don't come to church with that disconnect where we mark time in the Spirit of God before his presence and we see lips move, but nothing connects through the heart. I was touched by Mike and Rachel's direction this morning because they led us in God's love. that essential ingredient that we so need. Verse 2 says, though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I can remove mountains. That sounds like someone that's moving in the gifts. Sounds like someone that's connected, that has essential knowledge. But you know, knowledge puffs up. Knowledge makes you think you've got it all together. And God is reminding us it's not those things that are going to touch people's heart. It's your love. For the scripture says if we don't have that essence of love, it profits us nothing. Verse 3, though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned. You know, we can do all we can with New Hope Care and touch lives and feed people. But if they're not getting the message that's going to change their eternal destiny, we're wasting our time. It's not profitable. We want to see a harvest of people that are touched by the essential love of God that changes their destiny. We don't want to just be philanthropists. I got it out. And have the ability to give all our monies away. My wife was talking about the CEO of her company who gave himself a bonus of $28 million last financial year. And out of that $28 million, he donated $1 million to promote promiscuity and brokenness through the gay movement. $1 million, small change. And I think you know who I'm talking about, so I'm not going to say the name. But I want you to know that we, the church, as Pete was declaring, we have what God has placed within our control to say, we sow with a determination to see something changed. Not just earthbound, but in heaven. Verse 4, love suffers long and is kind. Love does not envy. Love does not parade itself and is not puffed up. Does not behave rudely, does not seek its own, is not provoked, thinks no evil. Does not rejoice in iniquity, but rejoices in the truth. If you have the Bible app, I want to encourage you to get the new translation of this portion because it will amaze you. It will speak some volumes. And I tried to print it out to have it so I could read it to you. But I don't have it in front of me. But essentially what it was saying that is brought me deep conviction because I want more of God's love deposited in me. Because I can read this and say, oh, I'm not acting rudely. I'm not rejoicing in iniquity. I'm not seeking my own. I'm not thinking on evil. I'm not behaving rudely. I'm not parading myself, and I'm not puffed up. But you know, God says there's still great room in your life for more of my love. A declaration over many churches as you'd walk in would be, God is love. And sometimes we run across it so often, and we sing about it, but is it really an essential of our lives? I feel by the Spirit of God that's the onus that's placed on my shoulders today to challenge and exhort in the Lord. Verse 7 says, it bears all things, believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things. Love never fails. God is going to test your love. A dear brother this morning said, I'm very unoffendable. I said, watch out. Watch out. Because the minute you say you're unoffendable is when you'll be tested. The minute you say, I've got love, I've got this one. I've got you, babe. I've got you, Lord. I've got this connection. Believe me, God's going to test you. God's going to say, listen, you cannot do this in your own strength. You don't have it, but you can be a channel of it. Are you a candidate for that today? I want to be the one that be on the receiving end, but also the Lord says, you've got to be the delivery boy too. You've got to be the one. Because essentially, I want to walk in cadence with the Lord. He said, can two walk together unless they're in agreement? And God, I want to be in agreement with you. The Spirit of the Lord said to you this morning as we took communion, do you have some things to deal with that God is putting his finger on your life and you're not letting go of them yet? You're still struggling. And God says, I want to love on you. Because I love you so much, I won't let that continue in your life. Because I love you so much, I want to see that barrier released and moved out of the way so that you can move to a new level in me. Essentially, God is saying it's time to grow deeper, higher, and more faithful in all that he has for us. Verse 8 says, but whether there be prophecies, they will fail. Whether there are tongues, they will cease. Whether there is knowledge, it will vanish away. Has knowledge vanished? No. Essentially, some people take this scripture out of context, says, well, you know, when that which is perfect is come, we've got the perfect here now. That which is imperfect is done away. Don't believe it. What God is saying is love is a deeper communication than anything you can do by trying to communicate through knowledge and try to express even through prophetic or even by tongues of many communication layers. Like I can speak two languages. Some of you may be able to speak more. But, you know, it comes to a level where between God and I, it doesn't have to be English. It doesn't have to be Spanish. It can be my spiritual tongue that I communicate with him and say, God, I really don't even know what's on the inside because the scripture says I make groanings that cannot be uttered. There's things that I'm communicating, God, that I don't even know what's wrong with me, but or what's right with me, but I'm communicating it from my spirit, spirit to spirit. And the challenge for us as a church is to go to a new level of not depending on our own abilities in our own knowledge of God, but to say, I'm partnering with you, God, and I want to be in cadence with you. I want to walk with you in agreement. I want to move with you in agreement, because in that agreement, we're going to see heaven shake. We're going to see the life of individuals taken to a new level. Verse 9 says, we know in part and we prophesy in part. But when that which is perfect has come, then that which is in part will be done away. You know, God's perfecting his church. He's getting us ready for harvest. He's getting us ready. You say, verse 11 talks about knowledge. It says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. For now we see in a mirror dimly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then shall I know just as also I am known. You know, that's the intimacy of getting to know God on a deeper level. Not depending on what you've already experienced. It's so easy for us to revert back into what we know. But God wants you to walk on higher heights. God wants you to put away some of those older things and move into a new ability in Him. When we look into this law of liberty, when we look into this mirror, you see, the priest, when they went into the tabernacle, there was the laver. How many know what the laver was? It was where the priests were supposed to wash their hands, right? The laver was also made of a mirror-like material. And the scripture talks to us about when they went to wash, they would be able to reflect and see themselves. See if there was any flaws or anything, because when they went into the presence of the Lord, they wanted to be clean and directed in holiness. You see, church, it's what God wants from us. He wants us to know Him. He wants us to be cleansed. He wants us to be whole. It says we see in a mirror dimly. Revelation is coming from on high, from this book. How many are open to it? How many are open to the call of the Spirit? The Spirit is calling. The Lord is bringing fresh revelation. There's nothing new under the sun, but God wants to enlighten His Word and His Spirit to our hearts and bring us into deeper communion. Now abide faith, hope, and love. The greatest of these is love. Love is the essential that will keep your marriage together. Love is the essential that will keep you as a single person. Love is that directive of connection by the Spirit of God. Stand with me. Spirit of God, we open our hearts today to your anointing. We've not walked this way before.